The Big Interview, part of Ida Hobbit 2021 on Pride Radio. In conversation with Switchboard, the LGBT plus helpline.
With the Pride Media Centre, the UK's first LGBT plus business and media hub.
Hello and welcome to The Big Interview on Pride Radio. I'm Peter, and over the next hour I'll be chatting to an organisation that has been offering help and support and advice to our community for 47 plus years. Now, this show is part of our Ida Hobbit series, which, for those who don't know, stands for International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersexism and Transphobia. It's a globally recognised day which is held on the 17th of May every year, but you know us here at Pride Radio. Why can commemorate a day when we can do a whole month? Now, Ida Hobbit's purpose is to coordinate events that raise awareness of LGBT plus equality issues, as well as spotlight awareness of the progress being made across the globe. The date's marked in over 132 different countries, and this is increasing. Now, as part of our Big Interview series, we'll be speaking to leaders, influencers, activists and organisations about their work and the opportunities and obstacles they see our community faces over the coming years. Today, I'm delighted to be chatting to Switchboard LGBT plus helpline, which was founded in 1974 and provides support, information and help to our community. To tell me more about it, it's the general manager, Stephanie Fuller. Hello there.
Hello there, lovely to meet you.
And you as well, because this is a strange thing we were saying off air. Normally we just speak to one another, but now you can actually watch this interview as well on our socials. So we're seeing one another in the flesh, as twere. Which is,
do you know, if I'd known that, I'd have brushed my hair.
I always have a blouse on side just in case you get a call. You never know.
Exactly. Now, unprepared, it's not good enough.
Tell me about Switchboard. How did it come about? 1974. That's a huge history that you've got.
Yeah, we have. I think you're absolutely right. We do have a huge history. How it came about, you know, 1974, obviously the world was, you know, sadly a very different place to the world that we're living in now. And although the world we live in now is far from perfect, it was maybe a lot less far from perfect in 1974. So essentially Switchboard was created by a group of activists who recognised that there was no coordination of any kind of resource information for queer people in the UK at that time. And so they sort of came together in London, because as historically has always happened, yeah, you know, the big cities do tend to hoover us up, the people from our kind of sector of society. And London certainly in 1974 was doing that for the UK, in terms of people were coming to London from all over the UK who couldn't be themselves perhaps in the provincial settings that they've been born and raised in. And really, it was a group of people with that sort of background that came together and recognized that actually there was no central point of information where you could find out, you know, where the nearest gay bar is, or you know, which places are safe to be in, a whole range of topics, and including back at that time even accommodation, yeah, and accommodation service as well, which sort of sprung out of it in its early years. But it was a group of activists essentially who set Switchboard up as the London Lesbian and Gay Switchboard in 1974, and here we are 47 years later, still going.
And I remember going to London as a young team, a teenager. You know, born in 71, so the 80s London for me, you know, was the big attraction. And it's the day before mobile phones, where you used to go and put 2p in a phone box. And I remember going into a phone box and seeing a card that said Gay Switchboard, and it was the only place that I could find out which bars to go. And I remember the guy I used to speak to, a guy called Ken, who was one of the volunteers, who I always used to seem to get. I imagine people change names and whatnot. Everybody was called Ken at Gay Switchboard back then. And it wasn't just about me saying, you know, I'm coming out and I'm proud. It was, where do I go? Where's good, you know, to actually see guys my age, or where's a safe space to go? So it was the internet of its day almost.
Absolutely. That's completely right. I mean, it was the original phone room for Switchboard was situated above Houseman's bookstore in King's Cross. And the bookstore's still there. Our phone room's moved from there since then. And obviously over the last year, it's had to do quite a few things differently, our phone room. But that original phone room had a map of the UK in it and like handwritten directories. So our listening volunteers would be, you know, taking calls from somebody maybe in Derby, so saying, right, I live in Derby, where can I go that's going to be safe? And they'd be getting the map out and having a look and then seeing what sort of local intelligence has been gathered over time. So saying, actually, this is a bar you can go to if you live in Derby or wherever else it is in the UK. So although it was a London-centric service, they were already starting to, you know, gather information on the kind of broader network of where can we go that's safe for us and kind of meet people and kind of just be who you are. And so really in the very early stages, that's what Switchboard was. And its role then became way more important through the 80s in terms of sort of, you know, public health suffrage, I'm sure we'll talk about in a moment. Yeah. But that was essentially the kind of starting point, is just a way of people, not in a connecting people in a sort of dating sense necessarily, but more like, this is where you can go. This is a bookshop or someone that sells materials in your area that's safe and that you can go to and actually find out that you're not the only one in the village, as it were. So.
No, you mentioned a handful of people who set it up. How are you now? How are you staffed? Is it still a handful of people, or have you got a whole team of volunteers behind you?
We have a whole team of volunteers. So we operate our phone lines 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week.
Wow.
Which is a huge undertaking. And they are staffed by our fabulous volunteers who make Switchboard sing. They are Switchboard, quite frankly. You know, a very small staff team, which I sort of lead that function within the organization. But the bigger part of Switchboard is our staff team, is our volunteers. And our listening volunteers make a major commitment when they become a listening volunteer for Switchboard. So, you know, they will undergo 60 hours of training as part of their induction into Switchboard, and that's really intense training. It's quite challenging and it puts them into situations that were probably ones they wouldn't ordinarily face, but it helps them become, you know, the right kind of listening volunteer for a really wide range of calls that they are undoubtedly going to receive during their time as a listening volunteer.
Well, we'll talk about the volunteers and the service that you offer, but one thing that we always ask is for the people who come on and have a chat with me is to pick the music for the show. And I always love this bit because I'm looking at it and I always think, are you the kind of person I want to go out and party with? And I've looked at your playlist and I think there's some cracking tunes on there. Now, we're going to start off with Small Town Boy by Bronski Beat. Why did you pick that track?
For me, I just feel I think it really connects with the early days of Switchboard. In terms of, you know, kind of how the story that's being told in the song really connects with the early days of Switchboard and the people that created Switchboard. And then for me personally, growing up in a small town, I always kind of connected with that song and understood what it was about, even when I think a lot of people didn't necessarily, even though it was, for me, it was blatantly obvious what it was about. I always kind of connected with that. And I always have very fond memories of kind of listening to that that track, particularly on my Sony Walkman on the way to college, back on the train back in the kind of 80s. So for me, it's just personally important. But actually, I think it really speaks to the soul of Switchboard and the, kind of what brought that collection of people together that created Switchboard.
Well, it's an iconic song. Here it is, Small Town Boy by Bronski Beat, here on Pride.
Leave it in my
conversation with Switchboard, the LGBT plus helpline. Part of Ida Hobbit 2021 on Pride Radio.
With the Pride Media Centre, the UK's first LGBT plus business and media hub.
To the big interview with me, Peter, as I chat to Stephanie Fuller, General Manager of Switchboard LGBT Plus Helpline. Now, Steph, we know about the history. Let's talk about the services. What kinds of calls do you get on a daily basis?
So you'll probably not be surprised to hear that we get a very broad range of calls, and they cover a whole spectrum of topics from, and even within one topic, there's a range as well. So for instance, coming out calls, you know, we still, you know, unsurprisingly, I would say, get coming out calls. But often people assume that, say, coming out calls would generally presume that to be something which is a young person's scenario, but it's really not the case. You know, we get a lot of calls from older people that are coming out later in life. So we get all of those types of calls, and around that you will get family calling us who perhaps a member of their family has just come out, and they, you know, they perhaps they haven't reacted the way they wanted to, or perhaps they don't know how to react. And so we get those sorts of calls as well. We get calls around sexual health, about mental health, mental well-being, domestic abuse, issues around faith, isolation and loneliness, gender identity calls, you know, whether it's someone who's non-binary or trans or somewhere else on the kind of range of gender expression, a complete diversity of calls that reach out to us at Switchboard. And so for our listening volunteers, it's really important to be equipped to respond to those calls. And, you know, part of what we offer is a non-judgmental, non-directive listening service. So you can ring Switchboard and just talk about how you feel if need be, and somebody will just hear you out, quite frankly. And we get those calls too. And then we get the call, all the other calls around safer sex and sort of health issues more broadly, right the way through to older life challenges, operating in the workplace, educational scenarios. You can probably tell it's quite a range,
it's a huge... What interested me there was, actually, it's not just the community that will call you. It's parents, it's siblings. Because, you know, by definition, you just think it's a telephone number just for us. But it's not. It's a service that, as you say, parents who have found it difficult or handled a coming out in a bad way can get that kind of advice and support. And that's equally as important on the whole journey of somebody expressing themselves or having issues.
Absolutely, because as I'm sure we both know, when you come out, you don't do that in isolation. You know, it affects people around you, and obviously most of all it affects yourself, but it affects everybody else in your life. And you know, I'm sure people listening to this will reflect on their own experiences and know that sometimes it doesn't go as well. Sometimes it goes great for some people. So, yes, it is families and kind of, you know, connections, whether it's colleagues. Sometimes you've had those sorts of calls, a real range. So, yeah, it is an absolute range of calls. And certainly over the last year where, you know, things have been particularly challenging, we haven't seen any of those calls disappear necessarily. So for instance, yes, we've been in a pandemic, but people haven't stopped coming out.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's been alone more than actually, you know, being around friends that you could get the support. I know that we've had a lot of people, particularly the younger people, contact us at the station that they've had to move out of their flats because they can't afford it. They've lost their jobs, etc. Moved back into a parent's home and had to almost go back into the closet and don't have dating apps, don't have the scene that they could go to anymore, and are feeling very isolated from that situation.
And that's absolutely the case. I mean, we've seen a lot of calls from, you know, when the government was encouraging everybody to, you know, to stay home, stay safe. And for most people, that's exactly what staying home means, is being safe. But obviously, for quite a few people within our population and our community, home is sadly often one of the least safe spaces for them to be, or the place where they can least be themselves. So, you know, we've seen an increase in calls around that. And I think when I talk about calls, I'm really talking about conversations.
Yeah.
And actually, those conversations that we have take place over three platforms. So we have telephone calls, we have email communication as well, and we have instant messenger. And we've seen, you know, we've seen a growth around that, particularly across the instant messenger space. And that would make complete sense because, of course, instant messenger is a far easier way to communicate if you're in a space where you can't maybe verbally express that through a phone line because you can't get somewhere private to make a call. You can do that through instant messenger. We've seen a big increase in those contacts through that route as well. And February this year was one of the first times we've seen probably one of the highest levels of instant messaging contact. So, and I suspect that's probably going to continue.
And is it a case that calls change to match the times? I imagine in the 80s, people were contacting you about HIV, AIDS as a big thing, about health. As times go, now it'll be a lot of COVID and pandemic. Or is there a general, it's the same messages that we're getting, it's same things, same calls about health, it's the same calls about coming out. That's been standard from day one all the way through to the present day.
I think, I mean, there are some common themes, you know, like for instance, coming out is probably never going to not be one of the calls that we receive. But I think equally, as you say, you know, during the mid-80s, early to mid-80s, in fact, through the 80s, HIV and AIDS calls were a big part of the kind of calls that Switchboard was taking. And fast forward to the present day, we're taking a lot of all the calls that we used to take before, but we definitely now take many more calls around gender identity and non-binary expression as well. So calls covering those topics are much more a feature now than they perhaps would have been sort of 20, 30 years ago. And again, I think that's to do with people perhaps being able to be more free and express themselves more freely. And as populations come out, we know that isn't always warmly received. And I think that's sort of what you're seeing, really, which would account for those communications finding their way to us.
And you mentioned that you've got fantastic listener volunteers who will, you know, be there at the end of the phone for you. Can you then, what happens, you know, you somebody calls and that they've got an issue and you've taught them through it. Is it then a case that you will signpost them to other organisations, or can you follow somebody's journey all the way through? I you know, time and resources will be limited. Do you have partner organisations that you can pass people on to?
So we're obviously we're anonymous. We don't, in terms of the callers, we don't know anything about them, only what they tell us. So we don't know where they are. Unless they tell us where they are, we don't know their name or anything. We only know the information that they share with us, that they volunteer to share. And in terms of where their call goes beyond us, we have kind of an internal Wikipedia, if you like, which is a directory of every sort of LGBTQ plus organization and resource and service across the UK. And, you know, when somebody's looking for a particular perhaps resource, we are able to signpost them towards certain organizations. And our hope is that they will then take up their conversation more specifically with either that service or that organization, or attend that venue or meet that group or whatever it is that they need to do. But we're there really to be that sort of, we're very often, we're the first port of call.
Yeah.
And then from there on, you know, people will go and find their self-determine their own routes as to where they go. And we're not there to tell them what that is. We are a sort of non-directive service, but we're just there to provide the information to enable people to make the best decisions for themselves. And that's really where our role ends in terms of the relationship with the caller. So,
but do you get feedback? Do you get feedback from people? Do they contact you 6 months later and go, thanks?
Yeah, we do. We don't, not all the time, but now and again we get them. And, you know, I know that some of my colleagues here at Switchboard will say, particularly some of the times you get the best examples of that at Pride events, when, say, they're, you know, we'll be representing at Pride and somebody will just come up and go, you know, 5 years ago I called you and I really needed help, and it was one of the most important calls I've ever had. And we get those sort of feedback. And now and again, we'll get an email. And, you know, I was chatting to somebody just the other week who was explaining to me that when he came out, his mother was very worried about what his life would be like. And so she called Switchboard. And that was the reason that I was on a call with him, is that he now wanted through his business to support us. And, you know, that intervention was obviously really important. So the person that handled that call with that guy's mum obviously handled it incredibly well.
And made a difference to that person's life.
Yeah, absolutely. And we get feedback through those routes. And, you know, that's really positive. And obviously we do get some really difficult calls, you know, people in really some of their lowest moments, which are very challenging, not just for obviously the caller, but the listening volunteer as well.
Well, we're going to be talking about the challenges we as a community face in the future, but it's song time again, how it flies by. And you've picked one of my favourites, When Tomorrow Comes by the Eurythmics. Why this tune? Is it just you like to have a boogie with it?
I love this song, and I think in the terms of the Eurythmics, it's massively overlooked as a really great pop tune. And during the pandemic, one of the things I've started to do is run again, and I found that it's one of my favorite running tracks is When Tomorrow Comes, because it's really upbeat, it's full of energy, it's optimistic, it's looking forward, and that's kind of, hopefully, I like to think that's a bit of me. So it's just a tune I love.
Well then, let's give it the platform it deserves. Here it is, Eurythmics.
Conversation with Switchboard, the LGBT plus helpline, part of Ida Hobbit 2021 on Pride Radio.
With the Pride Media Centre, the UK's first LGBT plus business and media hub.
And you know.
Listening to The Big Interview with me, Peter, in conversation with Stephanie Fuller from Switchboard LGBT Plus Helpline. Now, we've had a chat and we've said over 47 years you've been going. You've seen history. You are history, a big player in it. What are your hopes and your concerns about the future for our community going forward? Because obviously or is it going to be the same themes? We're still going to struggle with coming out. We're still going to have trouble with identifying.
Oh gosh, that's a big question, isn't it? There's so much to sort of think about within that. I think in terms of our community, I think one of the things that's really been significant over the years, and one of the things that's perhaps sustained an organization like Switchboard, is our solidarity with each other, our ability to stick together in difficult times. And I think that, you know, we've seen a very turbulent sort of climate in recent years, and this is just sort of my personal view, and it's been very divisive right across the board, you know, trying to divide communities, turn people against each other. And unfortunately, even our own community feels like it's been thrown into the crossfire of that, and that's really sad to see, because our strength has always been in our unity. Because, you know, when you are an underdog, you need people with you to sort of stand with you. And I feel that, you know, for all the letters that make up the kind of LGBTQ plus community, it's important that we look after each other and that we have that solidarity together in the future. Because if we don't, you know, the net result of that will be more calls to Switchboard. It won't be less. It will be more. More distressed calls to Switchboard and more people affected. If we don't have safety with each other, then where do we really have it? You know, so for me, that feels really... something that I would hope for.
And do you think conversations are going to move away from sexuality to identity? I mean, is that, you think, that because 47 years ago, you know, the LGB movement was very small, and we were just having our first prides following Stonewall, and we were there. And luckily, 47 years later, we seem to have a few rights. Still a long way to go. However, the trans community are still way back. Is that a hope that we can actually help support people who have identity issues or want to express themselves? Is that where we should be focusing our resources now and helping as a community to push that agenda forward?
Yeah, personally, that's what I'd hope to see, is that you know, as I say, everybody is supported in their space, frankly. And so I don't think that, you know, as Switchboard, we will see, you know, we're going to stop receiving calls from, you know, lesbian and gay and bi people coming out. But equally, I think, you know, there's an awful lot of misinformation around intersex people, for instance, as well. And I think there needs to be far better understanding about the kind of realities for sort of being intersex and what that really means for the sort of population more broadly. And I think to do that, you know, we as a community have a really good opportunity to help that happen. And I think that's really been our strength, is to kind of work to represent, you know, the underrepresented, and to help find that voice. So really, it would be exactly that, to support the kind of weakest members of our community, if you like, really. I think that's really important. But having said all of that, I still think that we will see all the other issues we were already seeing as well. I don't think they're going to go away. I'd love to say they will, but I don't think they won't. But in a way, I think Switchboard, you know, I think Switchboard will still be around and still be needed, for instance, say in 20 years' time. But maybe the purpose of the need might be slightly different, because maybe it's more about service advice and stuff like that, and moving people towards services that are good for them, and less about helping somebody who's just suffering intolerance and discrimination and things like that. You know, that I'd love to see the types of call maybe change, but I think there'll always be a need for a service like ours.
And it's interesting, you've mentioned the types of calls that you're going to get, and the way that you're addressing it now, because Messenger, people have, you know, it's a phone number that we would call to help, but you talked about the other platforms. Do you think that's the next big step for Switchboard? You know, you're going to be coming more online. You probably have a massive online presence anyway. I appreciate as well that being anonymous is one of your huge USPs, but here we are on some kind of Skype Zoom call. Is that the next step for you to do, or is that just too big and there are other organizations that can do that and you're going to stick to what you do?
I think video probably not somewhere that we will end up anytime soon. I mean, the one thing is, it's probably important to highlight actually, which I haven't sort of mentioned thus far, is that the pandemic meant that, you know, I'm sat in our phone room here at the moment at Switchboard, and this phone room's essentially not been in use since last March. But we've continued to answer calls because, due to the talent of the staff and the volunteers here at Switchboard, we were able to move to remote call handling without dropping the service at any point. So we've suddenly made this big sort of pivot in terms of how we operate to handle calls remotely, so that we can carry on taking those phone calls, instant messages and emails, you know, digitally. And I guess what that might represent in the future is, historically, you would have needed to be a listening volunteer to Switchboard. You've needed to have got to our phone room here. And of course, now, actually, potentially, you don't need to be able to physically get here to do that anymore, because it may be that we can offer a sort of blended opportunity. These are all ifs and ands at this point in time. It's by no means guaranteed, but, you know, we're led by a board of trustees who make up the strategic direction of Switchboard. And if we feel like this is the right way to go, then maybe that's the next evolution. But I certainly think there'll be additions to our kind of digital channels, you know, whether that's an Instagram channel or a WhatsApp channel. I think it's likely, without overstating it, that may well happen in the future.
I say the future is exciting and bright for you. And we're going to talk about your volunteers and how people can get involved next. But let's have another tune, because that's what we like to have here on Pride. Now, you've gone for You've Got the Love by Florence and the Machine. Why this track?
See, this is my, me personally, this is my song for all our volunteers. Because, you know, I think it's, they have the love for Switchboard. You know, they really do. It's a huge commitment. You know, they train for 60 hours. They make a minimum commitment to answer sort of 18 hours of, they do an 18 hour coverage over a quarter. So it's kind of three shifts. And I think you don't make that commitment unless you've got the love.
Oh, I say, you're very proud of your team. Well, this goes out then to all your volunteers. You've Got the Love by Florence and the Machine.
Sometimes I feel like throw my hands up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through. Sometimes it seems the God is just too rough.
As always on Pride Radio. Now, we've talked about the support that you give to people, but what can we do to support you? Because I imagine you're a charity, and therefore you need to fundraise and you need all those things. So come on, Steph, this is your pitch. How can I help you?
Okay, so I think there's kind of two key ways that you can really help us, or two, maybe no, three. I'll go through three, actually. The first one is perhaps the easiest one, which is awareness. Actually, really help us share the fact that Switchboard exists, that the number is there, that you can contact us. And part of, you know, our big push over the last couple of years has been is to really promote Switchboard in areas where we feel it's needed most. So it's easy to sort of gravitate towards the big cities and think that representing, say, you know, Pride in a big city is visibility and all those things. But often, to an extent, you're kind of singing to the choir a bit, really. And that's, there's no harm in that. It's great. It's really good. And we will definitely continue to do those things. But actually, you know, we're interested in Switchboard's number being available in locations that it wouldn't ordinarily be available. So if you're able to help us promote Switchboard's number into I don't know, a community centre, or whether it's a local doctor's surgery, or whether it's through just sharing on socials, following us and actually giving us a retweet, which would be, you know, really good, or liking us on Facebook, or following us on Instagram and sharing our content. All of those things really help to just amplify the visibility of Switchboard, because in the end, we are here. Our North Star, if you like, is an organization, is our callers. That's why we're here. And so anything we can do to create the opportunities for them to see us is a good thing, because you just don't know when those numbers are going to be needed. So I said there'd be three things. That'd be the first thing.
And just very quickly, are there resources for that? Can we go onto your website and download a poster that we can put into a community room or hall? Or do you want us just to make those ourselves?
We've got some downloadable assets on our website, so cool. Go to those. But by all means, just drop us an email if you're looking for something in particular, and we'll see what we can put together as well.
Great.
And we're a small team, but we you know, we'll do our best.
And if there's any printers out there or anything you want to help, that's also a bonus as well. So we've got promotion. That's one of your three.
The other one would be, volunteer. Obviously, I have mentioned that, you know, the way we're organized is that really volunteering does mean being fundamentally probably a listening volunteer. We do have administrative volunteers as well. So if you don't want to do calls, you can become an admin volunteer for Switchboard as well, which doesn't require you to do the sort of same level of training. But the other option is to actually register with us as a volunteer. We've got a slight pause at the moment on taking in the next intake of listening volunteers, but there's no harm in kind of, you know, making a note to join the pipeline, if you like, really, so that we can process people through, because it is an undertaking to become a listening volunteer for Switchboard. And, you know, we understand that over time people will move on. So we periodically do need to welcome new people into Switchboard so that we can make sure that we've got those coverage across those lines.
And you mentioned that you're in London, but there's this remote. Can people, do you want regional accents from across the UK? Can we volunteer, or is there still that emphasis that we have to be down south?
I have to choose my words carefully at the moment, because we're kind of on a bit of a bridge around that.
Of course,
to tell you this,
of course.
And I think, you know, the reality is that some of our existing listening volunteers are no longer in London because of the pandemic. And yet they're still delivering a listening service for Switchboard without any problems. So I think it's very clear that that has changed. Right. I think one of the things that we need to understand, maybe as an organization, speaking sort of openly, is, okay, how does that work in the longer term? Because what we want our listening volunteers to just feel part of something. So, you know, actually being able to meet them is important, actually, because we want them to feel part of Switchboard. And so that, you know, they'll have a longer journey with us, frankly, as a result of that. So I would say get in touch, and, you know, I think we can sort of address that as we move along. And I think that that'll become clear very quick, very soon, actually. So
that's volunteering. And the third thing.
It's fundraising, isn't it? It was always going to be fundraising. If you can fundraise for Switchboard, we'd be very grateful for that. We are a volunteer resourced service. There's a very small staff team here. And so, you know, we put together a lot of assets to train our volunteers. It costs quite a lot of time and effort.
I mean, is there a price? Does it cost X amount of hundreds of pounds to train a volunteer? Is it one of these things that we can say, yeah, we can pay a tenner and that'll help for an hour's training? Or how does it work?
Yeah, so I think to kind of get to the kind of nub of it, really, is to sort of why we're here. And we're going to review these figures again shortly. But at the moment, we think it was costing around £6 to answer a call.
Wow.
So, and, you know, we had over 18,000 conversations last year.
Gosh.
We, to be honest with you, that figure's probably a little bit lowballed now. It's probably a bit more than that in reality. But, you know, if you take that as a kind of ballpark figure at this moment in time, that's £6 is what it costs us to just respond to an instant message or an email or a phone call every time we respond. Then if you think in multiples of six, you won't go too far wrong with sort of shaping your fundraising ambitions around supporting us at Switchboard.
Great. That and 18,000. Is that higher, or is that about the standard calls that you've had for about 5 or 6
it's
years?
Higher. It's higher. It's higher. And during the pandemic, we saw very big spikes at different points in time. Obviously, we're still in the pandemic, but if you look at April 2020, so pretty much straight at the beginning of the first lockdown, we had a peak where our conversations, our calls, if you like, increased by 60% during that period on what they were the previous year. So we saw a direct correlation between the lockdown and our calls going up. And it happened again in December following the November lockdown as well. We have taken more calls than ever last year. So sadly, you know, and I don't imagine that the unlocking of society is about to change any of those things, because some of the calls we took probably were affected in part by the pandemic, but they were affected by other things that were going on in the world as well. And I think maybe, you know, we see a direct correlation sometimes between things that happen in the news and then the types of calls we get. For example, you know, when Phil Schofield came out, we got a load of calls.
Not from, you know, Gordon the Gopher, hopefully. No, I imagine it's from married men who wanted to share their story.
I think Gordon the Gopher was... I'd be surprised if Gordon was shocked, but...
So what happens when you live in a closet for most of your career, isn't it, in the broom cupboard? But, I mean, what can we do as a society to help somebody to break the silence? Is it a case, if we see somebody who needs help and support, to signpost them to organisations yourself? Or is it doing, though, without the qualifications that your guys and girls have, the just the listening? And hearing people's stories, because as you say, there'll be a peak during lockdown, but it's going to be a different world when lockdown unlocks, and that's going to be hard for people to engage with again. Is listening the key message?
I think it is, actually. I think listening and respect, you know, or as since we're on a radio station, you know, kind of lifting the title of, I think it was a George Michael album, wasn't it? Listen Without Prejudice.
Yeah.
You know, I think do that. That would be a good thing. Because if you can do that, then you give people the comfort to talk and maybe expand upon the things that have held them back in life. And actually, we all benefit when people are kind of freer. So I think just, you know, affording people the respect and time to listen to them and hear them out without judgment, I think is probably the most important thing we can afford to anybody as a human, no matter what it's about, to kind of have that space where these conversations can be had in a fair and reasonable way. So I'd say certainly listening. And I think just in terms of, and I hope you won't mind me sort of plugging this, but we
nonsense.
Have...
Plug away.
We have an excellent board of trustees here at Switchboard, and we have two co-chairs who are both great. And one of our co-chairs, Tash, she's a presenter on a podcast called The Logbooks. And The Logbooks is a fascinating historical insight into Switchboard, because it's the logbooks of our calls since 1974. So obviously they're anonymized, so we don't know, but they really lift out the themes of the topics of the social history, really, of this country, as told through the lens of Switchboard's callers over the last 40 years. And I think if you were just wanting to get somebody to maybe listen to something which is going to be really interesting to them, listen to The Logbooks, because you'll really understand how far we've come and how far certain letters within the LGBTQI plus community have moved much further forward than others, but actually how the struggles are often so similar. So I would say, if anybody wants to kind of really dig a little bit deeper and understand a bit more about Switchboard, and also it'll give you a real sense of empathy, because the stories in there are just so relatable, because it's just people's stories.
And it'll prove that you're not alone, that you're not the one. Absolutely. Just having that thought that people have had it before and are still having it. Okay, then, yeah. How do I get in touch with Switchboard? This is the big moment, you know. Get the telephone number, get the website out there.
Right. So if you need to call Switchboard for support for any reason, you can reach us on 0300 330 0630, and our website is www.switchboard.lgbt. So if you go to those two resources, you will find us, and you can access Instant Messenger via our website as well, or access email via there as well, information on how to do that. We're also on Twitter, and we're on Facebook, and we're on Instagram. So if you just look for Switchboard LGBT Helpline, you will find us on there as well.
Well, to play us out, we've Mary J. Blige and Just Fine. Why this track?
Okay, this is just a bit of self-indulgence, really. This is my
personal anthem. You're allowed?
This is my personal anthem. It speaks to me, you know, from a time in my life where maybe I wasn't just fine. And I think Mary J. nails it. She nails most things, frankly, because she's awesome. And so for me, this is just, it's just an absolute, it's my fight song. It's my empowerment song. It's everything. I just love it.
Well, Steph, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you and your team for the great work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on the show. We really appreciate you giving us the time to talk about Switchboard today. And so, like I say, I'm really here just representing an amazing set of volunteers who do incredible work. So it's really all about them.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to... Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you wanna do. Can't let nobody take it away from you, from me, from me. No time for moping around, are you kidding? And no time for negative vibes, cause I'm winning. It's been a long week, I put in my heart. When I'm looking at me, when I'm walking past the mirror. Don't stress through the night at a time, and my life ain't worried about if you feel it. Got my head on straight, I got my vibe right, I ain't gonna let you kill it. See, I won't change my life's just fine. The best out of life, treat yourself to something new. Keep your head up high in yourself, believe in you, believe in me. Having a really good time, I'm not complaining. And I'ma still wear a smile if it's raining. I gotta enjoy myself regardless. I appreciate life, I'm so well satisfied. So I like what I see when I'm looking at me, when I'm walking past the mirror. Ain't worried about what you gonna do? I'm a lady, so I must stay classy. Gotta keep it high, keep it together if I want to get better. See, I won't change my life. My life's just fine. Fine.
Bye. conversation with Switchboard, the LGBT plus helpline, part of Ida Hobbit 2021 on Pride Radio.
With the Pride Media Centre, the UK's first LGBT plus business and media hub.
It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here. It makes me want to.
Ida Hobbit 2021 on Pride Radio.
With the Pride Media Centre, the UK's first LGBT plus business and media hub.